सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। अखण्डमण्डलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरं तत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। त्वमेव माता च पिता त्वमेव बन्धुश्च सखा त्वमेव विद्या द्रविणं त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। Arjun is crying on the battlefield and he's grieving that he doesn't want to fight because this war is going to get his relatives and his guru and his Pitamaha killed. So he doesn't want to do that task. And Bhagwan very compassionately said to him that your duty is to fight, so you should get up and fight. Don't behave like a coward. But Arjun now says that this is not out of cowardness, this is out of delusion my state has come about. So to put an end to this delusion is what I am looking for an answer. So Bhagavan starts the answer by telling him that he is grieving over something that is not worthy of grief. There is no reason to cry for something that is not worthy of crying. Why it is not worthy of crying? Bhagavan only explains why it is not worthy of crying. And then Bhagavan knows that what he is saying is sounding so logical, but it is only foolish talk. Prajñāvādāṁśa bhāṣase. You sound so reasonable when you are saying, but it is foolish. It is not scholarly. So Arjun, I need to explain why it is all this. Why it is not worthy of crying, and why he is talking foolishly. So Bhagavan takes up one point after another to counter Arjuna's argument and give him a reason why. So first is, Arjuna is considering what is going to die. So he considers this Atma to die. So Bhagavan takes from that aspect. If you think that Atma is going to die, then it is not going to die. Because this Atma is existence. It's the principle which makes something exist. So therefore it is existence. So this Atma is existence, and therefore that which is existence cannot go away. It is there in the past, it will be there in future. So it is there beyond the three states of time. That is the nature of Sat. And if this is there, then you can easily understand with your body. Body, also this isness is there. The nature of the body changes, but the isness in the body does not change. You can take a piece of paper, burn it. Can you change the isness of that? No. You can change the form of it. So from a paper, it has now turned into ash. But you could not change the isness of it. You cannot make it from is to not is. Just by burning. Okay. You can no longer, you can no longer decompose an ash. So you cannot burn it and again burn it again. So it will not happen. So what do? I will put it in the soil. I will decompose it like that. It will become part of soil. So you did not destroy the isness again, because the isness is still there. Now it has become part of the soil. And from that soil will come maybe another tree or a plant or a seed. That will give a result, fruit. Again, that will change into its death. Again, that. So you can have this cycle going on forever. But the isness never changed in this. The isness was always there. That is what he's talking about as existence. That existence, that principle, is who you and I are, and everybody. So because that principle is like this, you cannot change it, you cannot destroy it. So Arjun, why are you grieving about that which is not going to be destroyed? No, but body is going to be destroyed. Sure, body will be destroyed, but body is not you. How can you guarantee that Atma will not be destroyed once the body is destroyed? Cannot guarantee it, but those who are dhira, they don't find it as a confusion. Just as how body goes through changes, but they know that the person who existed in the body as a youth and will exist as a old person will still be the same. Similarly, such a person who is a dhira, knowledgeable, understands the truth about Atma, such a person will not be deluded even when the body dies, because they know that Atma is still going to continue. So there should not be any confusion. Okay, no confusion. Then how about, I understand that Atma will not die, but I will still have to suffer the pain. You shoot an arrow at somebody and you tell, your Atma is not going to be hurt. You will be fine. Will that work? No, that will not work. You tell me that I don't need to feed my Atma, but the body is still going to feel hungry. You say Atma is untouched by anything, so if I stay hungry, Atma will be all fine. But I don't think so. Body will still want food. How do I overcome that? What about the sorrow that is created when I shoot an arrow at my relatives? What to do then? So what to do is what Bhagavan tells. A very practical approach to what happens when we transact in the world, and with that transaction, how we should deal with. Let's see. Number 14. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkha daha. Agama paino nityaha. Tam stitikshasva bharata. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkha daha. Agama paino nityaha. Tam stitikshasva bharata. Hey Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, matra sparshastu. Sparshaha means shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. So these are five sense objects. Eyes will see a form that is called rupam. The tongue will go and taste. That is called rasa. Nose will go and smell. That is called gandha. Like that. Other two you can imagine. So sense object is called as shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. And sense objects come in contact with sense perception, organs of perception. So they are tvak, chakshu, rasana, ghrana, and shrotram. These are the five. I know in Sanskrit well, so I have to translate in English if I have to do it. So shrotram, tvak, chakshu, rasana, ghrana. These are the five that are called organs of perception. And these five are represented by the word matra. So matra, when they come in contact with the sense object. Why are the indriyas called matra? The word matra comes from this root called ma, means to measure. And this is how our senses do their job. They measure the object and tell us their portion of the picture. We go and look at a flower, and we look at the flower, we really like the color. So then the mind, the eyes tell the mind, there is a color. But then the mind also has to go and ask, okay, how is the fragrance? The fragrance is good. How is the texture? The texture is good. How is the taste? Should not taste. So like that, all the senses, they give us the input, and then we have an idea of something, an object. So that is what they are doing. They are measuring the object for us. Therefore, they are called matra. And matra, when they are coming in contact with the object, that is called matra sparshaha. Matra sparshastu, what? Sukha dukha daha. Shita ushna sukha dukha daha. Tu is kind of in the sense that when they come in contact, then what happens is it gives the daha. Daha means to give. What does it give? Experience of shita ushna, cold, hot. Sukha dukha, joy, sorrow. Sometimes Sita only feels sukha, and sometimes Sita only feels dukha. Both have the same connection. When we go into polar vortex of minus 40 degree, Sita seems very cold. When you go to minus 1 degree, that feels like we are in global warming. So this is what the context. But what is it? It's just senses coming in contact with the sense object. And it gives us the feeling of sukha, dukha, shita, ushna, opposites. That is the point. It will always give us an opposite perspective at various points in time. And Kaunteya, you are Kaunteya. You should understand this better. Why? Why should I understand it better? Nobody in your family other than your mother has gone through so much trouble. She has faced so much sorrow, and you are the son of Kaunteya, Kunti. So she has endured all of this sorrow. Come on, Arjun. You can easily endure all of this. Sukha, dukha, daha. They are meant to give you joys and sorrows. What should I do with these joys and sorrows? First, you understand that agama apayinaha anityaha. They come and they go. These joys and sorrows, they come and go. And because they come and go, they are temporary. Anityaha, not permanent. So agama apayinaha anityaha, therefore tam stitikshasva. Therefore you should go and forbear them, endure them. So a practical approach to this idea that whenever sukha and dukha comes, what should we do? If we cannot do anything, at least endure the pain or endure the sukha. We don't have to endure the sukha because sukha is very natural. So there we forget everything. We should recall ourselves that this is sukha, which is temporary. So there we should apply anityaha. So when it is sukha, apply anityaha. When it is dukha, endure. Create an understanding and relation with the sukha and dukha of this world. Then only living with them becomes much easier. Otherwise, every single time that I have sukha and dukha, and I float in that, you know, boat of sukha and dukha, I'm going to get thrown away from here and there. So know that they are temporary. But a higher understanding than that is, okay, fine, they are temporary. A higher understanding is that I don't even have to worry about them being temporary. I can think about something beyond them, and as I think about something beyond them, they go away. They don't mean anything to me. Have you ever noticed? I don't know, maybe ladies have probably noticed. You cutting vegetables, and all of a sudden, you look at your hand, and you may have accidentally cut your finger. But you never noticed it when you were doing it. Accidentally happened. That also you notice afterwards. Blood is coming. And then when you think about the blood coming, then the pain starts even more. Before, it was not so much paining. Where was your focus? Your mind was somewhere else. So because the mind was somewhere else, you are not bothered by any of it. So you see beyond the sukha and dukha, you will easily forget about sukha and dukha. But if you cannot see beyond, then you can see it as, okay, it will give me sukha and dukha. If sukha comes, I should tell myself it is anitya, temporary, and ready to drop it. If dukha comes, I should tam stitikshasva, forbear them and move forward. But then he also gave the understanding of Atma. So if you are with Atma, you are always Sukhi. Yogaratova, Bhogaratova. That becomes the idea. So, to give this understanding is what Bhagavan mentions with the next thought.
Yam hi na vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate yam hi na vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate
sama dukha sukham. One who has considered both the joy and the sorrow to be equal. How have they considered it? It's a practice done over a period of time with the understanding that sukha which comes is anitya, dukha which comes, I should forbear them. And a practice like this creates an understanding of samatva, of equanimity. When there is equanimity, as we were seeing in the Bhajagovindam class, equanimity means you are indifferent towards both the sukha and dukha. Indifference doesn't mean you are a stone to them, you just don't care about them. And another very good interpretation given is that sukha is, samatva in sukha is, the equanimity in sukha is, that when dukkha comes, at the time dukkha comes, the level of sukha you have, the time dukkha comes, the level of joy you have is the joy you should have when the sukha comes. Yes. When dukkha comes, at the time, the meter which tells you where is your sukha, that is what meter you should hold yourself to when sukha comes. Which means, when dukkha comes, your meter of sukha is zero. It is at the ground level, base level. So therefore, when sukha comes, your meter should also be at that zero level, that is equanimity. And you do the same thing. When sukha comes, the level of dukkha you have, that is the level of dukkha, or that is the level of dukkha you should have at the time of sukha. So when sukha comes, the level of dukkha you have is what you should have. Yes, the idea is that you are neutral because mind is not in sukha and dukkha. Mind is not present where sukha and dukkha is. Mind is present with the self. And that is the idea I was talking about. Yogaratova, bhogaratova. Because what is the verse saying? Be the person in yoga. Bhogaratova. Be the person in enjoyment of pleasure. Sangaratova, sangavihinaha. Be the person engrossed in, engrossed with people. Sangha. Living it up. Or be the person completely alone. Sangha vihinaha, without anybody around him, completely all alone. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam. But the mind is where? If he is with people or without people, if he is in yoga, in meditation, or if he is in bhoga, the mind is at all times in Brahman. Therefore, when the mind is in Brahman, what is sukha, what is dukha? ಯಸ್ಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಿ ರಮತೆ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ನಂದತಿ 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 ಏವ. ಸಚ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ರಿಜಾಯ್ಸಸ್. ನಂದತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್. ಯು ಆರ್ ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಜಾಯ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಮ ದುಃಖ ಸುಖ. ಯು ಆರ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಇಕ್ವಾನಮಸ್ towards which pleasure? The pleasure of the world. That is the sukha and dukkha we are equanimous towards. Not the sukha and dukkha towards the self, because the self does not give any dukkha. Always is the source of joy. Always is the source of bliss, shanti. So one who has this equanimity, such a person is dhira. Dhira, composed, calm, peaceful. ಧೀರಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಯಂ ನ ವ್ಯಥಯಂತಿ. ಯಂ ದೀಸ್ ಶೀತ ಉಷ್ಣ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ದಾಹ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಆಜಿಟೇಟ್ ಹಿಮ್. ವ್ಯಥಯಂತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಜಿಟೇಟ್, ಟು ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಎ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬೆನ್ಸ್ ವಿದ್ ಇನ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್. ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಎ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬೆನ್ಸ್. ಸಚ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕಾಮ್, ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕಂಪೋಸ್ಡ್. ಸಹ ಅಮೃತತ್ವಾಯ ಕಲ್ಪತೆ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಸಚ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರೆಡಿ, ಕಲ್ಪತೆ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ರೆಡಿ, ಬಿಕಮ್ ಫಿಟ್, ಬಿಕಮ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಮೃತತ್ವ, ದಿ ಇಮ್ಮೋರ್ಟ್ಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಟೂಲ್ ವಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಶೋರ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ a boat, a vahana. So therefore, this vahana is what we are making sure is very peaceful as it goes through the agitations of the ocean. If itself is turbulent, then you're guaranteed to go over. But if you have learned how to maneuver each and every waves of the ocean, then you can easily cross. When you have kaivartaka keshavaha, you know that, right? Kaivartaka keshavaha, that is in our dhyana shloka. When you have a ferryman, the person who crosses over, who takes the boat one cross to another, that kaivartaka is keshavaha. When Bhagavan is your aboard, then you don't have to worry. This thought is pointing out that this is for mental purification. This practice of considering it as temporary, forbearing them, is to purify the mind. And when mind is purified, it becomes very easy to understand the self-knowledge, to understand the truth about one's own self. When mind is agitated, agitation is nothing but desires, the creations of likes and dislikes, that is an agitation. So whenever there is likes and dislikes, it will want us to do an action to satisfy that likes and dislikes. So here, this practice is given to make the mind calm. Why is this practice needed? Why do you want to do this practice? Because there is a higher truth. That higher truth, if you don't have this purity of mind, seems so baffling. Will seem like, what is this? How can this be possible? So what is that knowledge is what Bhagavan tells next. So let us see that mind-boggling shloka.
Nasato vidyate bhavaha. ನಾಭಾವೋ ವಿದ್ಯತೆ ಸತಃ ಉಭಯೋರಪಿ ದೃಷ್ಟೋಂತಃ ತ್ವನಯೋಸ್ತತ್ವದರ್ಶಿಭಿಃ ನಾಸತೋ ವಿದ್ಯತೆ ಭಾವಃ ನಾಭಾವೋ ವಿದ್ಯತೆ ಸತಃ उभयोरपि दृष्टोन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्वदर्शिभिः.
भावः न विद्यते. भावः मीन्स् इट्स् प्रेजेन्स्, इट्स् इट् बीङ्ग् देर्. न विद्यते इज् नाट् there, is not not there, meaning it is not existing. What is not existing? Asata, that which is false, that which is completely not true. Its presence is never seen, is never witnessed, is never known. That which is false, its presence is not known. Okay? You can try to imagine a horn on a rabbit. Rabbit and a horn. Or I can describe as much as I want. But that which doesn't exist, you cannot say is real. Right? That is what is meant here. That which is false, its existence cannot be proven, cannot be shown. Nobody can attest to that. But what about the other? अभावः न विद्यते सतः. अभावः नॉन एग्जिस्टेंस और नॉट प्रेजेंट इज नॉट देयर ऑफ दैट विच इज सत, दैट विच इज ट्रूथ. सो द ट्रूथ विच इज देयर, इट्स नॉन एग्जिस्टेंस कैन नॉट बी प्रूवन. That which is truth, you can never say it is not existing. It is existing. And you can never completely say that it never existed at any point in time. That which is real, that which is the reality, you can never deny its existence. And that which is false, you can never prove its existence. That's the point. But the first half, it is saying that which is false, you can never prove its existence. And that which is truth, you can never deny its existence. That's the idea. Seems complicated? Yes. But that's the beauty of poetry. And with this poetry, he's trying to tell something. He's trying to tell that you see, I was talking about the Atma. This Atma which never dies, which is there in past, there in future, there in now. This Atma is this Sat. Therefore, this Atma which is the Sat, you can never deny its presence. Okay. And then, I was telling you that Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, Daha, Matraspershastu. When the sense objects, they come with the sense organs, they create a feeling of heat and cold and the opposites. That is asatah. That is false, and therefore its existence cannot be proven. Oh, this is just totally wrong. Bhagavan is just lying to us. Before he said that they are real, because they are real, therefore I should forbear them, right? If they are not real, why should I worry about forbearing them? Bhagavan is just playing with us. Now he is totally changing up this whole idea, and all of a sudden he is saying that they don't exist at all. So how to understand this? Take your dreams. In your dream, the dream object that you have created, the vacation spot that you wanted to go to, show me its existence apart from your thoughts. Can you say that it existed for you? No. I saw it in my dream. Yes, it was there. But I cannot show it other than my thoughts. It was my thoughts. So that which is false, its bhavaha, its presence, cannot be proven. Because that, to prove, it has to exist independently. It does not exist independently. This is existing dependent on something. Wherever it is borrowing the dependency of existence, or wherever it's borrowing the existence based on dependency, there it is not real. So therefore it becomes asat. It is false. But can you deny that you were there in the dream? No, no, it was somebody else's thought. I cannot say that because I know I was there. So I cannot deny myself being present. But I also cannot prove that the vacation spot was real, existing. This is the idea of that which is false, cannot prove it. That which is truth, cannot deny it. Atma is this truth which can never be denied. But when are we saying this? In the dream, we are completely understanding that the dream object is real. That nice Rasgulla I had to keep away from me because I was fasting, I can indulge as much as I want in my dream. And as I continue to indulge in that, I get sukha also. But can you say any of it was real when you wake up? When you wake up, you cannot say. This is what his thought is. That Bhagwan is saying this from the thought of absolute. From the standpoint of the truth, all of this is false. But when we are in the false, at that time they are real. So you can take both understanding, and the understanding is that if I have not risen myself to the knowledge, to this truth, then I should follow what Bhagwan is saying. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Tam stitikshasva. That is what I should do. If I don't understand this Atma, I should be equanimous between the joys and sorrows. Because that will make my mind ready to understand this knowledge. But if I understand it, then I should know that all of that was false. None of that was real. Therefore, I should not play with it also. And why do you want to play with it? What good is going to get you? So therefore, this is the understanding that is there. One thought also I shared with the morning class is, you know, a child who comes and says some lie. Okay. Say in the school some trouble happened and the child got into some trouble. And as a retaliation, you know, gave a punch back to the kid. Comes home and says, "Oh, mom, I fell down." And then next day you find out that, oh, this happened, a fight broke out. The truth was, when the child told you that fell down, was that really the truth when the child even told you. You bought into it, but was that really a truth? It was not a truth. Even at that time, it was not a truth. And when you found out, it was false only. So that is what we mean by Sat. That which is truth is going to be truth at all points in time. It will never become false. Because if it becomes false, then it was false to begin with only. Atma never becomes false. Atma is always the Sat, always this truth, always existing. But what is false? The whole world is false because the whole world ends. I witness this ending every single day. You do? You also do. You should not look at me puzzled. Every single day when you go to deep sleep, your samsara has ended. This is the truth. So, ubhayaha api drushtaha antaha. Anayaha. Anayaha means ubhayaha anayaha. Of these two different viewpoints. Meaning sat is sat and asat is asat. That is the two different point. Drushtaha antaha. One who has understood the deep import of this idea. Who are they called? Tattvadarshi bhi. They are called Tattvadarshi. So only those who have this deeper vision of the self can have this understanding of these two points. Therefore, they are called Tattvadarshi. Tattva, thatness, and one who is able to see thatness is Tattvadarshi. Simple. So, this is the ultimate truth Bhagavan tells to Arjuna. What we can do is, next week, if there are any questions up to this point that we have covered, we can go through a Q&A. Because the week after, Uncle Ji, Auntie Ji will be back and they will start Bhagavad Gita from wherever they feel is a good point. So they will start the coverage. So we can cover this. And then if there are no questions, we will move forward with the next thought. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.